You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is now 12 minutes after 7 p.m. this evening, it being the 17th of November, 2022. Welcome to Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. It is our second and final hour of the show, like I said, and we are really glad that you've stayed with us from 6 p.m. this evening. You and I have been best of buddies, and I really appreciate your time that you've taken to join us. As you might have heard, we are about to get into our segment, which is called the Shape Shifters. It is about looking at the person behind the person. We have this conversations, of course, so that we can be able to draw some lessons, right, from the people that we do talk to. If you do have a question for my guest this evening, you're more than welcome to actually send me a message on 0734703520. That is 0734703520. You can tweet me on @AWRSID_media. While you are there, you can follow us on that particular handle as well. My guest this evening is Miss Eva Gore Musandu. And she is a young, assertive woman. And quote-unquote, she hates injustice. She is the director of EMG Attorneys, who holds, of course, an LLB from the University of Johannesburg, an LLM from the University of South Africa. And, of course, she holds a company chartered company secretariat qualification from the Chartered Governance Institute of Southern Africa. Yeah, got that one right. She loves learning as well as making a difference in the community as well. And I think that's what, amongst other things, which we shall unpack today, makes her our guest for this particular Shapeshifters this evening, the 17th of November, 2022. I believe that we do have Eva on the line. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. I always say that, you know, we don't always get asked how we're doing. So,
we must ask.
Please.
It's so important to ask. After lockdown, we need to ask.
Yes.
That's
very true. That's very true. Yeah. So I really enjoy it when someone says, how are you doing? Because for me, it's like I said, we don't get asked how we're doing. So it's always amazing to hear that. And how was your day?
My day was a blessing. It was hectic, but it was a blessing. How was your day?
My day was okay. Looking forward to this particular conversation, up and down. But I think the up and down is necessary. For some reason, it's necessary, but I don't know why. But yeah.
No, busy is always good, and I don't mind the devil's playground. So
I see. Well, after that statement, I have no words whatsoever. Yeah, it is the devil's playground. But thank you so much, ma'am, for joining us this evening. We really appreciate it, taking the time, of course, to talk to us right here on Business Sense. It is a feature that I think is quite important, right, as all the other features are. But I think it's important because we try and look at ways in which we can learn from people like yourselves in the different fields that you're in, because we do have some young people that might be listening and also want to get into the different fields that you guys are in. And so we open up during this particular time, and I think it is a beautiful feature. Like I said, for our listeners joining us, you can talk to us on 0734703520. That is 0734703520 if you do have a question for our guest this evening. I just wanted us to start here. You know, it's easy to read a biography, and I always say this before I start with all my guests. I think it's easy to read a biography and we can read it like it is, but it's always amazing and interesting to actually hear it from the person, right? So who is Eva?
Eva is a woman who loves God.
Okay.
I am still growing within myself. I'm comfortable in my skin.
Okay.
I'm assertive. I love learning.
Yeah.
I think I don't say it enough, but I really love learning something new all the time.
Yeah.
So I constantly keep my mind busy reading and just learning from other people as well. It's so important. And yeah, basically I love the law, but more so just fighting injustice, as you have read. So that's so important for me.
Sure. I just want to ask a little bit on this one, being comfortable in your own skin. How important is that? Yeah. And I think I hear, you know, quite a lot, especially within the young people, you know, that's always like a bit of a problem. So how important is that?
So the thing is, it's not something that happens overnight.
Yeah.
I think it's something you actually wrestle with every day because there's always somebody doing better than you.
Mm.
There's always somebody who, well, seemingly looks like they're doing better than you
in a specific area.
Because sometimes you're seeing somebody might be doing better financially, but you don't know everything.
Yes.
So if you are constantly comparing yourself, you're going to find that you end up, that's what causes depression a lot of the time. So it's so important to be comfortable in your lane, comfortable with the pace that life is going, as long as you're giving it your all. Be comfortable with the pace, because it is God who orders your footsteps at the end of the day.
So that's very true.
And as a young person, it's so easy for you to look at somebody else and compare and want to be them, but you don't know what it took for them to get there. So I appreciate your journey.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. Life is hard for everybody, but I appreciate the journey.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I think that kind of sums up the whole entire discussion. Where were you born, by the way?
Me, I was born in Zimbabwe.
Yeah. Okay, you're born in Zimbabwe. For people who might not know Zimbabwe for some reason, you find that, you know, when you go to certain places and you're like, I'm from South Africa, where is that?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to take it for granted. For people who don't know Zimbabwe, where is that?
Next door. On the other side of Brightbridge.
That's a beautiful answer. Next door to where? That's beautiful. Okay, so it's next door, right? For people who might not know. Can you paint a picture then for us in terms of, you know, growing up? What would you say were some of the typical challenges? And I'm asking because I'm finding that with the different people that we speak with, right, on Shapeshifters, they will tell you that the challenges of growing up in South Africa is more or less the same or different in small nuances here and there to the challenges that maybe young people face in a particular country or particular area in Harare as compared to Johannesburg. You might find that there are same differences here and there, nuances here and there, but some of the challenges seemingly look like they are the same. So what were some of those that you faced growing up?
Okay, so in all fairness, I've been here for over 20 years.
Okay.
So I basically had my primary school in South Africa.
Okay.
But I grew up with just, you know, my dad was, and my mom, very hardworking people.
Yeah.
Middle class people that I looked up to just based on their work ethic. So they inspired me. Not to say that we had everything, but I saw the dedication that they had. My dad just constantly telling us that life is not handed to you. You have to fight. And telling us that nobody owes you anything. And then my mom, she's all about school.
Yeah.
So that's where probably my love for school came from. Like whenever she would not allow herself to be idle. She has three qualifications as well.
Okay.
So she inspired us to just keep pushing. She's a teacher as well. So you can imagine how homework was. Home, so basically that having somebody who constantly was pushing us to be better than what we were yesterday.
So what type of influence has that then played in shaping, I suppose, who you are today? Like you said, it, you know, she's had her own 3 degrees and all, and that kind of shaped you to a certain extent.
I would say, you know, just in terms of work ethic, there's no room to slack. Right. I remember there was a time when I missed an exam. I was in grade 10.
Yeah.
I was hoping my dad would wake me up for the exam. I called him. Like, Dad, why didn't you wake me up? He's like, "How? You're old. Don't you know that you have an exam?" He's like, "You must take," and I was crying on the phone. But he says to me, "You must take responsibility for your own life." From that age, I learned when I was 15, I learned that life is not handed to you, and even though something is big, he knew I had an exam. Well, I guess he probably forgot, but at the end of the day, he was very strict with me. He was like, "Go and solve it." I had to learn how to, from that point, I learned how to solve problems. So I had to solve that problem at school. So, yeah, so I guess it shaped me to know that my parents didn't just hand things to me. I had to work hard.
Yeah. And of course, that means working hard even now, like you said. Life is difficult. So many challenges out there, and one does not have and shouldn't take the time to relax. You can't.
No, you can't.
We have to work every day.
Exactly.
Here's another one that I found very interesting. Christ. How, where, what was happening? Maybe you grew up in a Christian family, but I believe that, you know, you might grow up in a Christian family, but we all have our individual moments, our own Damascus in a way, even if we are in a Christian family where we meet Christ face to face. So what would you say was your Damascus moment when you met Christ?
Mine is actually not that I went through a tough time. It was a friend of mine was going through a very difficult time. I was in high school, and it was so difficult that I had to get on my knees and ask God to explain to me. And God came through, and I wanted to know more about this Jesus, this personal Jesus, who comes down and just meets these little girls and is able to just answer the prayers in such a way. From that point, I started asking God to use me. And I then just wanted to know him better. I started studying the Bible. I gave myself a goal of, that was the first book I studied. I gave myself a goal when I was in high school that I need to read the whole Bible and make summaries in 6 months. And I did that because I was like, I still don't know it, to be honest. I still don't know the Bible. I'm still learning. But I just said, I want to know him. I want to read the Bible to know you. So it was just from that experience and seeing a miraculous thing happen when I realized that this is a God who cares about the small details. And I want to know him. And I don't want to miss heaven. So that was my experience.
Oh, wow. Nice. That's beautiful. And would you say that moment, right, as you were then learning and studying and getting to wanting to understand this God, this Jesus and all that, that what type of influence does that then play in your everyday life today, when you look back, I suppose, with like the politicians would say, the benefit of hindsight. How does that, you know, influence you today, the knowledge of God or spending time with him and knowing about him?
Well, before you make any major decisions, before I started the business, I had to ask God if it was okay. Before I started a job, I would ask God if it was okay. Because the thing is, you can get all these jobs, you can start this great business, but if it is not aligned to your purpose, and if you lose yourself in the process, then there is no point. So in every way, my prayer is always, God, this is what is in my heart. But if it is going to cause me to miss heaven, let it pass me by. And help me so that that desire lessens and I focus on what you have for me. Because it's so easy to get distracted by things that might look great. So some things are good, but they're not good for you. So we need to distinguish between the two. So I guess just having that foundation, I grew up in a Christian home, but just knowing God on a personal level, it helped me understand the importance of doing things right by him.
That's beautiful. And for young people, maybe that might be, I suppose, also a that stage in their lives, and they unsure, I suppose, to say, I don't know whether I should go left or right, this way or that way. In your own experience, what would be your advice to them?
If you don't know what to do, you wait.
Okay.
You wait, but it's not a matter of waiting and doing nothing. It's like, for example, you pray. You pray, and if it's a matter of, it's a school thing, work hard. And you pray about it. You say, God, I'm confused, but I'm going to work hard while I'm in this season, while you are preparing and opening the next season. He'll guide. God will never leave you nor forsake you, and he will never leave his children confused. So you constantly wait, but waiting doesn't mean you do nothing. It means you pray, and you focus on whatever you are doing at that moment, so long as it's right with God.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. All right. I want us to take a break because I really want us to talk about then your career and your business. And I think as an encouragement as well to young people who are looking into getting into that space. So we're going to take a breather and just for me to pay the bills as well. And then we will come back after this particular one. But thank you so much for staying with us. And for those of you joining us, we are talking to Eva about life, career, growing up, and just looking at the background right now, where she comes from and what she does. Of course, in terms of the business is what we are going to look at next. You are more than welcome to join us on 073-470-3520, 073-470-3520. That's the number that you can use to talk to us right here in studio. We are taking a break and we'll be right back. And if you're looking at the time, it is now exactly 29 minutes after 7 p.m. this evening. It is the 17th of November, 2022. Thank you so much for staying with us right here on Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. You can talk to us on 073-470-3520. That is 073-470-3520. On Twitter, our handle is AWRSID_media. That's where you can tweet us. And of course, we can have that conversation then. Of course, mine is @Tapela_Moloi_Essay. That's where you can find me on all social media platforms. It being a Thursday today, we are looking at shapeshifters. And our shapeshifter for today is Usis Eva. And we've been looking at the background, where she comes from, where she was born, how Christ and the knowledge of Christ has shaped the person that she is today. She is a person that describes herself as a young woman who loves God and loves law, amongst other things, and is passionate about you know, and hates injustice, put it like that. And then, of course, she loves learning every single day. So we're looking at that. And her work ethic is one thing that I've just been making notes about here. And it's something that to be recommended, of course, commended for that particular matter, especially to young people. We recommend that working hard is something that's very, very important. We're about to get now into career. And I think this part of the segment, of course, is interesting, like I said, for young people who might be interested in getting into your field as well. But before we look into that, what drew you to law?
Honestly, I did not like math.
Oh, oh, okay. So, that's an honest answer, eh?
And to be honest, I think, let me give hope to young people.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Okay.
So my parents are, you know, these people who are like, no, listen, you can't just do nothing. So we sat on a table. I still remember the day.
Okay.
And my sister was there, my parents were there, and they asked, okay, so what do you want to do? So I told them, no, I want to do music. Then they're like, but you can't sing, you know?
Okay.
So I was like, no, but, you know, so we ended up just going through, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to do, I don't like math, so anything with math is out.
Yes.
And there was just a suggestion, why don't you... Well, they came up with a few things. Then I started, okay, let me do law.
Yeah.
Let me just see what it's all about. But when I started doing it, I actually really liked it. And I realized it was a God thing because, you know, God directs your footsteps. Sometimes you're thinking it's just a joke and, you know, you're sitting there just making the parents happy. But I really enjoyed it. And at the end of it all, I realized, you know, this is really my calling.
Yes. Now, let's dispel some of the myths. I don't know if you've watched this particular movie by Tyler Perry, I think, where she's like, lawyer, liar, lawyer, liar. So do lawyers twist the truth? Or what happens really in court?
Well, if your client comes to you, it also depends. If
Your
client comes to you and said, I did this, you go to court and you say, my client says, this is what happened. You're not necessarily stating that this is what happened. You say, my client says.
That's so lawyerish. Why is that? That doesn't sound like a typical lawyer.
Because in all honesty, you don't have all sides of the story.
Yes.
You have your side. But there comes a time when you tell your client that, listen, this is not probable.
Yeah.
We're better off just telling the truth because this does not make sense. But if they insist, then you must say, my client says, you need to
I find that interesting.
Yourself between the client.
Yes.
Say, my client says. But in most cases, if it does not look good or if you can tell that this is not the truth, then you tell your client that a judge is just not going to rule for you and it won't be good at the end. So we don't lie. if our client insists, then our phone stays.
But that's beautiful.
But we would have advised.
Yes. Okay. So you didn't like maths and you thought, okay, I have a few options. Let me just get into law. And like you said, it was a God-directed decision because here you are. You love it.
Yes.
And helping your clients in inverted commas as they work through their cases and all that. And I think that's really beautiful. So, looking back again, I don't know why, but it sounds like I'm a politician this evening. With the benefit of hindsight, what would you say are some of your most successful cases or undertakings?
You see, some of them I can't even mention.
Okay.
Right? But there's a recent one that was in the media.
Yeah.
It was highly publicized, so I would say that's probably one of the most successful
ones.
Okay. So, yes. Cases that end up in the media.
Yeah, are the ones that are more successful.
Yes. Yes, but just because of clients and attorney privileges, partly that. And then there was one where we were able to get a minor child. The mother had fled with the minor child out of the country, and we were able to get that minor child back to the father. So,
nice.
I mean, it was a long battle, but I think that just brought me so much joy. Seeing a father, you know, normally people think fathers don't fight that hard for their kids and all of that, and the law is always for the mom. But just seeing that play out and seeing the dad being able to get the child back, that was just amazing.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm sure it's a fulfilling exercise at the end of the day you look back and like we've done really, really good. Okay, so for those of us who are laymen and don't understand this field and maybe find it a little bit intimidating. Apparently, I don't know, you'll correct me. Like I said, I'm just a layman, you know. a lawyer and attorney, what's the difference?
It's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's the same thing. It's a lawyer, attorney, it's just the same thing. The difference is the attorney and an advocate. The differences. So, attorney specializes more in the typing, the behind the scenes, but attorneys can also have right of appearance and still appear in a court. But advocates spend all their days, most times in court, fighting, and they're the ones who do the talking in front of the judges. But attorneys can do that too.
Yeah.
But mainly we have our different areas.
Yeah.
Attorneys, we give instructions to advocates. Advocates can not really directly, unless they are, I'm not getting into technical things.
You want those technical things.
Unless they are like trust advocates, but normally advocates cannot approach clients directly. Clients approach attorneys, and then attorneys engage
advocates. Oh, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. So the advocates and a bit of attorneys as well are the guys that we see on the media, you know, the ones that look good on the media.
We all look good.
Okay.
Attorney, advocate.
Yeah.
Like, look the part.
Yeah. And I'm being cynical here because there's this one, that the recent one, we all know about him, right? So, but we won't get into that.
Yes, that one.
We won't get into that one. We'll leave that one for you guys. Okay, and what would you say are some of the most challenging cases then, without, like you said, necessarily client confidentiality, whatever, at a very high level, what would you say are some of those that were challenging throughout your career so far?
I don't think it's the case per se, but it's mostly clients.
Yeah.
Some clients.
Oh.
It just depends on how, just how demanding the client might be.
And
you have to learn how to manage your client.
Yes.
Don't let your client manage you. So mainly with cases, the beauty of it all is that the legal community is so helpful.
Mm.
If you don't know something, you are able to call someone and they're able to help.
Mm.
So I think that's one thing I appreciate about the legal fraternity, that we will never leave each other alone. So that's what I appreciate. I can't say it's been hard. Like, where it's a challenge, you call somebody, you ask them for their expertise, you always know an expert, and that way we help each other or we work together.
Mm.
That's also something else. Yeah.
Oh, that's really beautiful. There's societies or society, I don't know. But what are those?
Societies.
Yeah, like the Law Society of the Northern
Okay. Okay, so now it's called the Legal Practice Council.
Okay.
It's what regulates us.
Oh, okay.
So literally clients can report us. So we are, let me not say we are not afraid, but we, you know, you tread carefully because you have to, obviously, there's so many rules, there are a lot of ethics, but more so to protect the client and to also protect the integrity of the profession.
Yes.
So there are rules around all of that that regulate a lot of things. So it is, it's great. I mean, sometimes it's a lot of admin, but it's good. It protects the integrity of the profession.
Yeah, it's more like your HPCSA for health professionals and all that, so that they not only tell us that our kidneys are gray.
Exactly.
You know, they find a way to say your kidneys don't look good, but you are fine.
Exactly.
Without saying, well, they are grey and you're about to die. Like, you know, they need to find a way to be a little bit less scary. And so that's that. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's talk EMG then. What was the inspiration of studying EMG?
So I was working in corporate, and my boss had suggested I start a firm, right?
Wait. Your boss suggests that it doesn't happen every day.
Yes, but you see, now he was, I think the idea was behind, you know, just it wasn't really for me, but I would think it was just to help, you know, it was just for some organization. But he had it in mind that, okay, I'll start the firm. It'll
be okay.
You know, for some other organization. So, I mean, in that sense, I was like, why am I, if he can see that potential, why am I not seeing that potential in me to start a firm for my own benefit? So then I prayed about it. It took a while because technically you're not allowed to use initials.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it has to be full name.
Oh.
So, yeah.
That's why Smith, attorneys and Gotham, okay, makes sense.
It's part of the rules. And if you use your initials, you have to write the motivation as to why you believe initials. So, considering my surname, you know, for marketing purposes, I don't think it was going to work. So, I have to write, you know, a motivation for why it would be great to use my initials, and that took about 3 months, whereas ordinarily it would take a few days to get approval. So that was also just a process in itself where I was questioning God, should I really be doing this? That was something else.
Okay, so if you and I were to whisper, the listeners are not listening now. No affiliation to Emmanuel Minister Group.
No, you see, I didn't
know
that one.
Okay. I know we were whispering there. Okay, no, makes sense. I thought maybe there are legal battles and everything. You are part of them. Okay. No affiliation to them whatsoever. Okay, no, so what's your specialty at EMG? Like EMG, is it, what do you guys deal with? What do you focus on? You kind of take everything that comes your way.
So we have 8 consultants at EMG Attorneys, and they all specialize in different areas. We have a conveyancer and a notary.
Okay.
I specialize in business law.
Okay.
My master's is in corporate law, and also just boards. I advise board of directors on basically how to ensure that they comply with corporate governance.
Yeah.
And then
that king something.
That is.
That King 5, I don't know, whatever,
yes,
King 4 now, we're still at 4.
Yes,
okay.
King
yeah.
4, just to make sure that, you know, they understand what's expected of them, particularly for listed companies, just to make sure they're compliant, and there's some who specialize in family law, there's also somebody else who specializes in immigration, so we've literally just broadened our horizon, so whenever I see that there's a great need, I will look for a specialist and I will ask them to come on board.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Young people looking to get into law, what would you say to them?
Stay true to yourself. Be honest. It's so important for you to be an honest person. Clients are drawn to people who are honest, real and trustworthy. You think that they are drawn to aggression, but that's not it. People like people who are authentic and work hard. The profession is very, very competitive, but work hard and make yourself marketable. Study something else. Don't just be content with an LLB. If you have the ability, push for more. The sky is the limit for you.
Yeah, the sky is definitely the limit. Or some people will say the sky is not even the limit. So push yourself, right?
Exactly.
As much as you can. Okay, so as we end this particular talk, we get into the nitty-gritties around money. And I love that conversation. Anything with money for me is interesting. Okay, how would you define your relationship with money?
I would hope it's healthy.
You would hope it's healthy. Okay.
Let's say I obviously have a salary.
Yeah.
The first thing is you return what belongs to God.
Yes.
No, you can't take that away.
Yeah.
Portion that that goes back to God.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you kind of have a sense of how things should be.
Yeah.
But also, I think your question is also on the firm and making money.
Yeah.
It's important. It's a business that has to run on profit.
Mm.
But let not profit be your driving force.
Okay.
Because you will fail dismally.
Yeah.
Because you'll just be a money chaser.
Mm.
And the first thing should be integrity. You need to have your integrity right. You need to have principles as an organization. Because there might be clients who come with a lot of money, but they're expecting you to do things that are not necessarily
ethical. Yeah.
So you have to be run by principles and not by money.
That's beautiful. I have a friend actually wrote a book around business ethics, and he's an entrepreneur.
Wow.
And in the book, he just details the different places where he's had to say no.
Wow.
Because the deal came with either, a few thousands here to give someone.
Exactly.
And they're not even Christian for that matter.
Wow.
But they say, in business, more often than not, one out of two times, you will be asked to, as some people say, bend the rules a little bit. And the ability to say no is one that is very important in business. And I find that principle quite interesting, because it means, like he said, and it does say in his book, by the way, that it means you lose money in the process. You could have made 300 million, but you had to give up 50 million for that. And you're kind of weighing like, 250 million can change my life. But he's had to walk away from a lot of deals. And he's in the IT space. You can imagine software development and all those sort of stuff. And been doing quite well there. But with the benefit of hindsight, when he looks back, it's like those deals that I've walked away from, God has been leading me into the deals that I deserve. And I didn't have to explain myself, when you get to those deals. And I think that's exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
And the challenge is once you open that door, it's not that you're just going to do it once. You keep on opening bigger and bigger and bigger doors. And then you end up on TV, I won't mention.
Yeah.
And people are asking you questions about doing things because you've dug such a deep hole for yourself that you struggle to get out of it. So get it at the beginning. So it's important before you even start anything, before you even start a job, you need to make a decision about what you're going to stand for. Because you don't make the decision when the offer is made.
Yes.
You make the decision before you even start a job to say, I will not do this. I will not do that. Because you've already stated that this is my stance.
Yeah.
So regardless of any position, regardless of whatever offers that come my way, I've already decided what kind of a person I will be.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, we're not going to get onto the TV one.
No.
You're so spicy. Okay. what would you say are some of the mistakes around money that you've made?
Mistakes around money?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not a saver, hey?
Okay.
Probably being too much of a saver sometimes.
Okay.
Because you miss out on investment opportunities.
Yes.
So sometimes it's good to invest. I'm learning that now as I grow older.
Yeah.
Because I've always been this responsible person from a young age. But I'm learning the importance of sound investment. So it's important to also surround yourself with people who know about things that you don't know about. So So just learning to invest and, yeah, to have that relationship, not be too attached, lest you lose everything.
So would you say then that's some of the lessons you wish you would have known at a younger age?
About money, yes. About learning to invest, yes.
Yeah.
That it would have been great to learn that from a young age. I mean, the younger you start investing, the more money you'll make later on.
And
the better your retirement will be.
Indeed, indeed. There's a certain quotation that they say the eighth wonder of the world is compound interest. And obviously, compound interest has to do with time, right? Upon interest upon interest upon interest. You wake up one day 20 years later. To say you're a millionaire is an understatement, but you wake up and you're like, whoo, so much money. So the eighth wonder of the world is exactly that compound interest. And I think within our community, and I mean, I'm deliberately saying that, within our community, you know, like you're saying, we need to learn the importance of investing and putting money away, not only for rainy days, because rainy days will come, but even for those sunshine days or sunny days, whatever the case might be. You want to put something away for even those times. So we don't appreciate, you know, the time value of money and what money can do over time. And I think once we can unlock those learnings and we become deliberate around that, we can wake up tomorrow much better people in terms of our money. As we conclude, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Probably, you know, the investment question that you asked me, probably to invest a little bit more. To have more fun. Good fun, because the fun that the world has thought, but just to even travel a little bit. You know, I think I focus so much on school, which is good, but sometimes you neglect also enjoying being a child. That's important. Enjoy your youth, but in the same breath, stay grounded in Christ as a youth. So probably just that. That's probably the advice I'd give my younger self.
Indeed, indeed. Beautiful. Any last words as we say goodbye?
Just maybe for those who are pursuing whatever career that they're pursuing and they're still young, just to constantly remember God in everything. God is never, God is not overrated. He's not. He is wise in everything. If you're struggling with school, if it's exam time, pray, seek wisdom from Him. And just listen to your parents. They know what they're doing. Let's encourage each other and surround yourself with the right people. Don't just surround yourself with just anybody. Make sure that your circle is tight, and make sure you're not the smartest person in your circle. That is very important. Those are my last words.
Beautiful. I love that last sentence. Make sure you're not the smartest people in your circle. In other words, find someone smarter than you so that you can keep learning, I suppose, every single day. That's beautiful, ma'am. Thank you so much for taking the time joining us this evening on Business Sense. I have a feeling this is part one. We still need to do a little bit of talking around EMG as a business. We do have a feature on Wednesdays where we talk about businesses and entrepreneurship. And I think there's still a lot to unpack there. But we want to thank you for taking the time to join us this evening. And may God continue to be with you and let your territory and the work that you do. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. May God do the same for you.
Thank you so much. That was Sis Eva joining us right here on Business Sense, talking about life, love, but no, growing up, in fact. life, growing up, and career, and of course, the work that she's currently doing. Beautiful, beautiful interview.